Hi, this is Bob Familiar. I'm here at TechEd 2008. Got a chance here to chat with David Platt, author of the book, Why Software Sucks. Now, I assume that, as the book states, software sucks, it must still suck. David, welcome.
Thank you, Bob. Great to be here.
You are the CEO of Rolling Thunder.
Actually, the title on my business card is Supreme and Exalted Dictator for Life. And I need you to use it. I hope I won't need to chop your head off or anything like that.
Your Highness, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself, and please don't chop my head off.
Okay, well, my name is David Platt. I am the head honcho of Rolling Thunder Computing. I'm the only honcho of Rolling Thunder Computing. And I have been in this industry for 20 and 25 years now, and it wasn't getting any better. And it was a real problem, because the demographics of our audience have changed completely. 20 years ago, the users, almost all users, were programmers themselves. And they were almost all male. They almost all had college degrees. They liked driving stick shift cars. They liked tinkering. But today, the user population has gotten much, much larger. It is now half female, even though developers are still all male. It now, 3/4 of them do not have college degrees, even though all the programmers do. And they don't like driving stick shift cars. They'd rather have automatic transmissions and just get to the store without thinking about it. So our user population has changed drastically, and our software development practices and methodologies have not changed to take into account this completely new and completely different, much larger, very, very different kind of user population that we now have to deal with.
So the folks who are writing the software are very different people than the users of the
very
software.
Very different. 20 years ago that was not the case, but today it is.
Interesting. So give me some examples of bad software design.
Bad software design. Oh, there are so many. Well, all right. Here's one I was looking at, and that is if you go to Google, this is actually a good design, but you go to Google, I was in Sweden doing a gig, and I plugged into the internet in my hotel. I typed in www.google.com, and bam, up came Google in Swedish. And I thought that was pretty clever. They sniffed the IP address, I figured the request was coming from Sweden, and served it up in Swedish, figuring that the person there most likely wants to speak Swedish, most likely does speak Swedish and would prefer to. And they are correct for most users most of the time. And now, if you don't speak Swedish, as I do not speak Swedish, or they made a mistake and it's not really coming from Sweden, or the guy does speak Swedish but doesn't want to do it right now, a college student wants to practice their English or something like that, there's a link at the bottom of the page that says Google.com in English. So they make the best guess for most people most of the time, and it's just one click to fix it if it's ever wrong. And then they set a persistent cookie on your drive so they will give you English automatically no matter where you go. So it's correct for almost everybody almost all the time, and just one click to fix it permanently if it's ever wrong. Now contrast this with UPS.com. FedEx.com does the same thing. When you go to UPS.com, the very first thing that they make you do is select your country.
Right.
It says select your country here. And if you're in Sweden, you have to click to open the box. You have to type S to jump to the S's. You have to hit the down arrow 26 times to get to Sweden, because there are a lot of countries beginning with S.
Yes.
You can't just type SW, because it doesn't realize that the W is next in a word. It jumps you to Wallace and Fortuna, which is a French possession in the southern Indian Ocean. You have to hit the down arrow 26 times. You have to click to select Sweden. You got to click to close the box. You got to click to go forward. That is 30 clicks, before you can begin to do the work that you went to the site to do. That is 30 clicks. It is pure excise, pure friction of the process, pure stupidity on the part of the developers. Okay, let me call it what it is. It is stupidity. Failure to recognize that the user is there to have a problem solved. It is their job to help the user, not the user's job to help the program. All right. So Google does it very, very well. UPS does it really poorly.
Now, I know you've been putting some effort into this. Is there a website that you're looking to have folks submit and track these poor designs?
My blog is called suckbusters.com.
Okay.
Why software sucks, and it's called Suckbusters. I haven't been writing on it as much as I should, but yes, if you send me bad examples, I will publicly humiliate the people that perpetrate such examples by posting them there. And if you give me the name of the boss that designed that, I will be happy to cite it by name. I will need an email address for verification of that. I will say, hey, I'm about to do this. Do you have any comments? So, well, and I take a great pleasure in doing that. As they say, any place there's an open meeting law for the government or something, sunlight is the best disinfectant.
Right.
And if you can say, hey, here's the guy. You don't like this website? Well, this is the guy who did it. You know, send him email and tell him you don't like it. Well, that's I found
it's
that
a start. It's a start.
It's a start.
Right?
It's a start. Public right. accountability.
Now, in your book, you talk a fair amount about security. It seems
I
to
do.
Be
it's
an
a big
area
deal.
That sucks a lot more.
It does.
Than
it
others.
Does.
So, give me your points around security.
Okay. Well, around security, security is a tough thing. The basic problem that we have with security is the failure of the security infrastructure to recognize that security is fundamentally a human problem and not a technical problem. Here's a quote, if I may. This comes okay. from there's a guy named Bruce Schneier, who is a very well-respected security guru, and he wrote a book called Applied Cryptography back in 1995, which was highly respected in the field. And 7 years later, he wrote another book in which he recanted what he said there. And in the introduction to this new book called Secrets and Lies, Bruce Schneier wrote, "I wrote this book to correct a mistake. Applied cryptography described a mathematical utopia. I talked about cryptography as if it were the answer, TM. And he said the results weren't pretty. When he started designing and analyzing security systems, he found that the weak points had nothing to do with mathematics. They were found in the hardware and the software, the networks and the people. Beautiful pieces of mathematics were made irrelevant through bad programming, a lousy operating system, or someone's bad password choice. He sums up by saying, if you think technology can solve your security problems, then you don't understand the problems and you don't understand the security." And he's entirely right. It is like far too many security guys, not all, and I know some guys that are quite on the ball, but far too many of them, and they often get shouted down, far too many of them are of the type, sort of like these hyper-academic physicians that do a lot of research doctors, who regard the patient as an unfortunate side effect of what is, to them, an interesting disease. You see? And then they say, well, gosh, if people would just follow the security rules, we wouldn't have any trouble. Well, you know, people are people, and they are not going to stop being people. And there's a limit to